Turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. I'm going to say some things that may shake a few people up tonight. Don't get upset until you hear the whole message. We're not going to do the whole part of it tonight. Probably continue next week. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Then the lips shall eat the fruit thereof. We understand the power of our words, right? Power of decreeing the word of God, declaring God's promises. And we'll make a few statements starting out. Don't let it shake you. But I believe what I'm telling you is true. Statement number one. How many believe in divine healing and divine health? Anybody? Our body does not function in divine health because God answered our prayers. Let me read that again. Our bodies do not function in divine health because God answered our prayers. Read another one. Our finances are not continually blessed because God answered our prayers. Promotion to our next level of calling, whether in the secular arena or in ministry, is often not the result of answered prayers. We have a mentality within Christianity that I need finances, I need health or healing or whatever, I need a promotion, I need a position, I need a breakthrough. That when we get it, it was God answering our prayers. We'll even talk about it. I need healing. I'm just waiting for God to answer my prayers. And we don't pray for divine healing. We decree it. I'm about to show you the difference in this. Is this okay so far? We don't pray for finances. We sow for it and declare it. We speak over our seed. God's already said He multiplies our seed. He's not looking to answer prayers on that. He wants you to speak what He's already promised. He wants you to speak healing over your life because Jesus already purchased it. So we don't ask for what He's already said is ours. We declare it. Same thing with promotion. Father, I thank You. You have my next open door of opportunity available. I receive it right now. Our next facility. Notice I've yet to pray to God. If you've listened, I've yet to pray to God for our next facility. I decree it. God wants us to have it. I already know that. Do you follow me? Now we declare it out. Now, let me take this further. It's mostly ladies in here tonight, but you'll probably understand this. If I put oil in my car, does it work properly because God answered my prayer? Think about it. How many of you got to put oil in your cars?
Yeah.
Unless it's an EV, right? I guess they don't get any oil. Do the EVs have oil in them, Charles? Not engine oil anyway, right? If I put oil in my car, EV's electric vehicle, I'm sorry. The electric vehicles run on batteries. There's no engine. I'm sorry. It's just my technical expertise and all these high-tech things that left you behind. I'm still trying to run the Kroger app. If I put oil in my car, it keeps it running because in the operation of a motor, it needs the oil for lubrication to keep from seizing up and overheating, right? Or overheating and seizing up. Here's a question. If I put toilet bowl cleaner in the commode and it gets clean, is it because God answered my prayers? These are just stuff that popped in my head. Y'all bear with me. This morning I got up and I was talking to God about what to preach tonight, and I was reading the word and a verse jumped out and it triggered me just sitting there. Patty was right there for about 2 hours writing up this message. If I put toilet bowl cleaner in the, say the toilet's dirty, and mold or whatever, right? You put the Lysol toilet bowl cleaner in it. You let it set in the toilet bowl. You come back, it's clean. You flush it, it's clean. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. I have a clean toilet. How many pray over your toilet before you put the Lysol in the bowl? You know that cleaner has chemicals in it that will attack the discoloration or the mold or whatever. And it'll at least leave it sparkling clean, right? Because there's chemical reactions and processes involved. It works. How about this? If I get together all the ingredients for a chocolate cake, the chocolate, the sugar, the flour, everything, the eggs, or whatever you need, baking powder, and you take the right proportions, you have a recipe, you put them all together, you mix them right, you put it in the oven at the right temperature, you pull it out at the exact right time, when you get it back out, it's beautiful chocolate cake, and you got to put the icing on it everywhere. Is it because God answered your prayers? No, it's because you followed a process that is declared to produce a chocolate cake. Amen. When I did the experiment last Sunday with the hydrogen peroxide in the yeast, and it bubbled up, is that because God answered the prayer? No, it was a chemical reaction with the yeast as a catalyst, right? I mean, we're catalysts for God. That's going to work the same every time. What I want to get across to you tonight is, when you're believing God for finances, for healing, for breakthroughs, for promotion, quit looking for God to do something. Well, if He'll do this, He'll answer my prayer. No. Keep declaring it until it happens, because it's like putting oil in the car. It's like putting the toilet bowl cleaner in, if that's the right, best example or not. It's like baking the cake. You do the ingredients, you put it in, you set it right, you take it out right, and it's going to produce every time the exact thing it's supposed to. And our words are designed to do that. Our words are designed to produce accurate, exact results. Yet there's a trigger, there's kind of a switch in our brain, because I've been guilty of it. I'm like, God, I've been speaking this. When are you going to do it? God's not got some clock waiting for it. It's just the oven hasn't dinged yet. You follow me? You may still be on preheat. You haven't put it in the oven yet. It's still on preheat. Well, I believe I received. Yeah, but have you done everything required to see the thing bake properly to get your results? Because too many people are begging and pleading with God to do stuff. He says, I've already done it. It's in the Word. I've already done it. It's promised to you. Speak it, act on it, and stand until you see it manifest. Speak, act, stand. Three steps of faith. Right? Speak it, act on it, stand on it. Revelation, meditation, activation, manifestation, and restoration are five steps of living by faith. Huh? That's how you got your job. Speaking, yeah. Speaking. Now, so you gotta learn this really works. Anybody here like chocolate cake? Yes. Sugar. Patty would tell you, I have not had a piece of sweet since I started this. And no desire for it.
No aches and pains either. Right?
No what?
No aches and pains.
Like, no aches and pains, no. Nope. No nothing. I'm going somewhere with this. Look at Mark chapter 11. We know this passage. Because I got a testimony tied to this. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that's unto me. If it says unto you, it's unto me. I receive it as mine. That whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus says, you have what you say if you believe it. Now, how many believe? How many are just really believe in the possibility? If somebody had enough faith, if they really had faith for it, they could speak to this mountain and be cast into Lexington. Anybody believe that? I do. If they had the faith for it. Because see, everything in the natural is subject to responding to our faith-filled words. Now the problem is, I doubt if there's anybody on earth that has much faith. But if Jesus did it, it'd been gone. Do you follow me? The natural created realm is wired to react to the words of authority a man speaks by faith. It's wired for it. It's got to respond. So many people are looking for God to move, and God's saying, I need you to speak, act, and stand. Let your faith do the work. It's working if you don't quit. It's working if you don't neutralize your confession by speaking the opposite. Well, maybe God doesn't have a building for us. Maybe we don't have a facility. Don't say that. Our faith is working. It could be it's taken a while because it's so large. Faith has to do a lot of work to get it.
Amen.
We'll go with that. It's being prepared. Not to mention, I probably won't talk about it tonight, but I'll get into it in the next 4 weeks, I'm sure. The work God's been doing in me to prepare me to be ready to step up to a higher level. To be anointed for it. To be dedicated enough to it. Not to mention the books to write. Ready to start the next book. And so, faith is a law. I remember the law of gravity. Aren't you glad it works all the time the same?
Yes.
You can get an airplane and it doesn't, so gravity doesn't double as you fly over one area and you crash to the ground. Gravity always works the same. It's highly precise. We can calculate it so accurately. We can put satellites in space and they stay in position based on velocity versus gravity. And yet faith is a law that produced gravity. God said, let there be, and gravity was created. And science still doesn't know how gravity works. They have no comprehension how gravity works. And faith is a law. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 3, and God said, He spoke, He released words of faith. Let there be light, and there was light. He spoke it, and He saw it. God said, and God saw us all the way through. Those first 26 verses of Genesis. God said it, and God saw it. And He says, I give you the same ability, the same authority, the same access to speak words that will reform creation on your behalf. It'll move everything out of your way. And so, the reason I'm teaching this, the reason it came to me, is because when I turned 65 in 2019, I went and got a physical. First physical I've had in 40 years probably. I hadn't had any insurance since 1993, without insurance, and living by faith. God took care of us. I turned 65, I was eligible for Medicare, and I thought, I ought to have a physical, just to find out how things are, and it turned out great, everything was wonderful. And I hadn't had one in 6 years, and I thought, it's time to have another one. One of the reasons I wanted to have it because I've had several friends and widowmaker heart attacks. And not to mention I knew my sugar was higher than it should be because I checked it was too high. That's when I started the keto. So I made the doctor's appointment, went and had my blood work done, and the sugar was a bit high. My numbers were excellent. little low on platelets and white blood count, but the doctor says it's no problem, and it turns out it's probably from eating too much kale. Peggy's been bringing me a big thing of kale every week. I've been sucking that kale. I don't know. Doctor thought it might be, but he said, in fact, I was with him 2 days ago. He was looking at my chart. I had the blood test done. He called me back and to go over it. He says, you're not on any medications. I said, no, sir. He said, your numbers are good. He said, no, they're very good. Understand, I've been speaking over my body for probably 35 years. I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm healthy. No sickness form against me has any effect. I'm for almost 30 years without having the flu. Haven't had a cold in years. Just the promises of God. But when I was with the doctor, two weeks ago, now a week and a half, I said to him, I said, doctor, I've had several friends have quit on me for heart attacks with no warning. All of a sudden they just went into, you know, cardiac arrest. I said, for the sake of my peace of mind and my family, is there any test they can do, just a check, a scan, to make sure there's not something to be concerned about? He started naming things off. But he said, there's a new thing they have now. It's a CT scan of your heart and lungs. Checks your arteries for calcium deposits. And seemed to indicate it was quite accurate. And it's inexpensive. In fact, it was $88. Lexington, this center, they put me in this, you know, the CT machine. They did the resonance or whatever. And they scanned all my lungs and heart and arteries. And now I've been confessing, again, when I speak over my body, I have pretty much a set confession that I always touch on. I add other things, but I touch on these. I say, my heart is strong, my veins and arteries are clear, totally clear. My mind is clear. I have perfect recall and memory. I have no memory loss. And I still have a strong memory, right? Do you remember the date on the Ken Clement prophecy? November 13th, right? 2013. I know where I was that day. I was in Lost Springs, Kansas. That's the day before my mother turned 80. We were at her house for her 80th birthday. So that was the day before. I can recall things. Now, I may forget why I walked in the kitchen while I was going after, but it'll come to me after I go in another room.
Yeah.
So I speak over my heart, my arteries, my veins, my mind. And because there's been some dementia or Alzheimer's in my family's history, so I address that. So I went and had this scan done. And they rate you on how much calcium deposit they found. I've been speaking over this for over 30 years, probably 35 years. And the score goes from 0 to 1,000. Now, for men over 65, the average is 111. How much calcium deposits in there? And they have a rating for whether it's a threat or not. In fact, I have some more numbers, so I'm going to read them. For men over 70, understand, the older you get, the more likely you're to have some deposits. Men over 70, 30% of men score over 400. 38% score 81 to 400. How much is this? 39%. I think I said it wrong word. 31%. No, I'm looking at the wrong line, yeah. 30% score 1 to 80. And 4% score 0. So they did the scans. I got the results yesterday, I think it was, or the day before. And I scored a 0. 0 deposits in my arteries, in the heart. This is my heart is normal size. No fluid around my heart or my lungs. Everything totally 100% clear. In fact, the numbers show his testing as a very young man, as far as on average. I personally believe that result, with my friends dying all around me, not that you know, you're having heart attacks. All my friends from the past, pretty much, that I grew up with, are all dead. I'm personally convinced the reason I tested a zero, I mean 4% over 70, is because I've been speaking for 35 years. My heart is in pains, but clear, my heart is strong. Speaking it over. Well, that's a lot of work. It's a whole lot easier than 5 bypasses. Do you follow me? Or a heart transplant. Again, I'm not trying to build me up. I'm trying to tell you that the power of words is a law. And when I saw that test results, I immediately, mentally made the connection. That's what I was speaking. I would have no buildup. They're clear. I'm thanking God for these principles He gave us if we'll do them. But we have to be convinced. It's not just begging and pleading God to do something, not hoping God will move. Well, maybe it'll work this time. It's recognizing these are spiritual principles that are guaranteed if we will do them. Well, I prayed and nothing happened. Of course nothing happened. You prayed. You got to declare. Oh God, won't you please heal me? And He's up there saying, I've already done it. Access it by faith. Because if you're saying, please heal me, there's evidence right there. You're not in faith. Don't be getting mad at me. You're in hope. You're hoping and praying. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Is this okay with you so far? I'm in the 4%. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is, say is.
Is.
Is past, present, or future tense?
Present.
It's present. It's right now. Your believing has to be right now. I believe right now I receive a facility. Right? This church does.
Yes. Now faith.
Yep.
That's the word.
Now faith is a substance. See the word substance? Substance is a compound word of two parts. Sub, what does sub mean? Underneath. Like a submarine. Sub means underneath. Stance means your foundation, what you're standing on, your platform. And faith is the undergirding of your ability to receive. We'll read the rest in a minute. Faith is your foundation to access the supernatural. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Verse 6. You must believe. Faith is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for, what you desire. The evidence of things not seen. See the word evidence there? I don't like that word there. I hear it preached a lot as evidence. I don't really believe it's a proper translation. It should be conviction. Now somebody sees your faith as evidence you have it. Do you follow me? But faith is being convinced of what you're hoping for is yours if you'll decree it. If you will operate by faith, you will be convinced it's yours. Amen. The time I was overcoming migraines and I was slamming my head on the van dash as hard as I could. I mean, hard as I could. Wham! I was convinced. I had a promise of healing. Everybody's heard that testimony, right? Wham! Maybe 20 times hit my head. When I got up, I was free of migraines. No more. That was in 1992. Then about 2002 or 2003, I blew out my back. and went home and listened to healing tapes for 3 days. Stayed on the couch. Every time I finished a tape, I'd stomp around the room. For 3 days, God said, jump. Jump, my back. I'm hearing the devil scream, you better get to the hospital, you'd be paralyzed for life. You've blown your entire back out. Wasn't feeling any better. God said, jump. So I jumped. I thought, I'm doing it right. I jumped as high as I could. It came down flat footed, just blocked my knees. Pow! I want to hit my back. It's totally recreated. Now that's been over 20 years ago. I've never had a back issue since. It's be convinced this is real. And if you're convinced it's real, here comes the fun part. You'll apply yourself to developing it. This, sometimes when I minister, stuff just jumps in my head. As an example, here's one that just came. Let's assume you are not born in America. You were born in a foreign land who never discovered fire. So when you're eating, you know, your lizards, you're eating them raw. You're eating your fish raw. Your chocolate cake is more like chocolate pudding. You can't bake it. You don't know anything about fire. No cooking. Don't have any. And then somebody comes along and says, we've discovered if you rub these stitches together, they light this new thing. We've called it far. These are southern items. And we can cook our stuff on it. And you can have cooked fish, cooked lizard, whatever, you know, chocolate cake. Now, how many of you, just think about yourself for a second. How many of you would say, well, that's interesting, but I don't know if I believe in rubbing those two sticks together. I'll just eat mine raw. How many would say, I'm for cooking? Now, my wife, she would have starved to death long ago. Just knowing she had to eat lizard would be enough. I'm going to say, show me them two sticks. Let me get my own two sticks. Let me light this fire and never let it go out. Do you follow me? I'm going to guard that fire is extremely precious to me. You've ever seen the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Where he finally got the fire lit? I'm just betting he never let it go out again. I'm just betting that was an eternal fire. I mean, they never talked about it, but they never showed him rubbing the sticks again. I bet he kept that baby running. Not letting this thing go out. Piles of kindling just ready. Remember you trying to eat the crab, it was raw or whatever, you know. Fire does some good stuff. I believe I would learn to rub the sticks together and be a fire and keep it going. But I'm telling you, faith will do more than two sticks will do. We have to believe it enough that it's a law that if we'll develop our faith, it'll produce for us. And it would be worth it again. No flu. I went without the flu from 1991 till 2018. How long is that? 18 plus 9, 27 years. 27 years. That was worth it. I had it again in 2018. I don't want it again. You follow me? I don't want any COVID anymore. In fact, I declare I don't have to experience any more sickness. Ever. I'm the healed of the Lord. By His stripes I'm healed. He took all my diseases, right? He is the Lord that healeth me. And you've got to believe this works enough to start speaking word over your life. And you speak it enough until you believe it. You meditate on it. Find verses that are going to feed you. And you stay with that word until you're living it. Otherwise, we'll be people with unlimited opportunity. We tapped into almost none of it. Listening to some old CDs today. Great faith teaching. And he was talking about how we, as Christians, we suddenly live below our opportunity. We're invited to bring heaven to earth. Now, we'll never fully have heavenly conditions in our earthly life. you know, we're not built for it. The enemy would throw enough wrenches in the ring or something to be totally like heaven. There's no devil in heaven. But we can bring as much of it as we can into our lives today. But you got to want it. You got to want it enough to disconnect from some things of the world and of your normal life to press into the kingdom. And I don't want to get to heaven and God say, it's such opportunity, but you like Andy Griffith better. You father, fishing or whatever, you like that better. I want to tap into the fullness. Let's look at a few more verses. Look at Luke chapter 6. This verse jumped out at me the other day. Sometimes you just jump out and have to research the verse. This is one that happened with. This message is not meant to condemn. It's meant to exhort. I just have so much stuff going on. I'm just so busy. And there's so many demands on my life. You may have to shut off some of the demands. I'll tell you what. I'm a fixer. I'm a restorer of things just in the natural. I like to build things, take things that are broken, get them back running again. I just hate things to be thrown away that can be fixed. But I've been talking to God lately. No more projects. No more projects that are outside of my assignment with the Word. I don't have time for it. I have no hobbies. I speak of, you know, pinballs, but even that. I believe I have access right now to tap into an unlimited number of really nice pinball machines to fix. Nope. If they were offered to me, I'd give them to you for next to nothing. Nope. I'd take a few special ones that I've been wanting personally, but as far as fixing things up, no more projects. And when you know my feet is now filled up with stuff, it would be an excellent opportunity to fix it up. I mean, the car I've always wanted, there it is, just fix it up. The motorcycles, I love the motorcycle, but needs some work. Nope. If it needs work, not for me. Well, I've got to separate myself more fully into the Word. Because it says the disciples dedicated themselves to the Word of God in prayer. And I am doing that. But I'm finding areas I can dedicate even more. And you got to believe this system really works. King's really going to produce to make these life decisions. Again, I'm trying to speak about myself. I'm trying to talk about where the church is going. So, Luke chapter 6, are you there? Let's go to verse number 45. Jesus speaking. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, I was researching some verses and I saw this written in the ESV. I believe that's the English Standard Version. The ESV. And it's written differently. And it inspired me to look into some things. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Not bringing forth, produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Produces. Creates. Builds. Brings forth, means to produce. So I looked up that word in the Greek. The Greek word is prophero. Some of the same root word is prophetic. Prophero. And prophero is from pro, meaning towards, and phero, meaning carry or bring along. This is properly to bring the goal forward with high energy. Bring the goal forward with high energy. You're producing intentionally, with purpose. Moving something to its necessary manifestation. Our words birth manifestations. Our words produce things. You know, we tend to read the King James, well, you know, a good man of the good treasure bringeth forth. No, he speaks something good. But really what it says, he produces something out of that. His mouth speaks out of abundance and it produces a result. But you can't control what you're producing without intention. Amen. You got to want to change your inputs to be able to control your outputs. What comes in determines what comes out. Because out of the abundance of your heart, what you put in determines what's going to come out at the precise moment you need it. Romans chapter 10. Are you still with me? Told you I still must preach. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. Well, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's in there. If you put it in, it's there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I have a question for you. Don't answer it, because you may get it wrong. How many here prayed to be saved and you were born again? I said don't raise your hand. None of us. It doesn't say if you pray. It says if you confess. Now I believe there's power in saying, God, I want salvation. Please save me. You follow me? But the true power is in, Lord, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. The confession of Jesus Christ as Lord activates the power of God by faith to rebirth you. And if we're reborn by faith, every other promise God wants to bring to us is by faith. You won't be saved by begging God to save you. You've got to declare, I receive you. Amen. Now again, God's a merciful God. If you're praying, God save you, God save you, God save me, I believe he may convert that words too. Okay, you've accepted me. You've accepted my mercy. But the point is according to the scriptures, we're born again by speaking the words of faith. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he raised again from the dead. I trust his blood to wash away my sins, his resurrection to rebirth me. I receive him as Lord and Savior. Pow, born again. You speak it. Is anybody here? Again, don't raise your hand. Is anybody here still asking God to save you? No, you're saved. You will tell people, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yet at the same time, we're saying, yes, when I'm sick, I hope God heals me. Same word promised both of them. Again, nobody's being healed. I'm praying and asking God. We're prospering. It's by activating spiritual principles, which require speaking the word by faith. You got to believe these promises of God are prepaid and already ours. And you got to believe these faith principles really, really work. And what can we do to operate within them? You got to pursue that. We got to quit thinking we're waiting for God to move, and instead realize you're me that again. We must quit thinking or waiting on God to move and realize we've got to work the word. I emptied out my storage shed the other day. We put up all the tools I have as far as I'm up. And I got, you know, different lawn tools. I got shovels and spades and picks and post hole diggers and stuff. Now I have a snow blower. If you were here or something. And I discovered I have a post hole digger. It's a crummy old one, but it does work. If I want a hole dug, it doesn't dig itself. I got to use that tool. Anybody ever use a manual post hole digger?
Yes.
Some of you. I grew up on those things. We have a history. In fact, I put in all the pools around my deck and everything. And there's probably close to 40 of them. Holes dug in my yard. Took about 2.5 years to get it all done. That hole doesn't dig itself. I got to use the tool. God says, faith is your tool to produce the supernatural. It'll produce it. Speak words of faith. It'll produce. But you got to use it. You have to work the word. Now, there's a saying I heard long ago. I still use it all the time. The word works for those that work the word. The post hole digger works for those that work the post hole digger. Amen. My son-in-law, they live in Virginia. He wanted to build a fence around his house, really a plank fence all the way around, which required him putting down 4x4 treated posts about 2 feet in the ground. The problem is his whole yard, his whole backyard is full of big oak trees, which means his yard, if you get underground about 2 inches, is nothing but huge roots. He was talking about getting renting or somehow getting a hold of a gas post hole digger. You try to use a gas post hole digger where there's roots, it'll break your arms off. It'll hit a root and you're going to go for a ride. Because it's going to spin. It hits a root, it's not going to spin the bottom, it's going to spin the top. I said, no, that won't work. And then he wanted a post hole digger. I got him a post hole digger, a good one. I wanted to go or sell. But I said, there's something else you need. If you want to get these posts, there's something else you have to go buy. You're not gonna dig through roots with a post hole digger. Thunk. That's man, I know. We had trees on our farm. Whole other side story I better not go into. And so I said, we gotta go get you a digging bar. Digging bar is a steel bar about this tall, you know, yay big around, fatter at the bottom, and it comes to a point, and it's used to take and go wham and cut through roots. It's basically a vertical axe. And you can take it around your hole and just start chopping the roots away. Now, some of the roots he had this big around. Bigger. We tried to spot them, or maybe they weren't that big. He had hit some big ones. You have to just chop it away like an axe, like an end of it. You have to work that tool. But he did it. He stuck with it. I put the first one in when I was there. Left in the tools. He put the rest in. The fence looks great. But I said, did you have fun doing it? He talked about it was work. You know, now his fence is up.
Amen.
The work part's done. Now it's just painting it, keeping it up. You know, protecting it. And your faith is the same. To get your faith built up in the area of promise, you may have to do some chopping, some work, some speaking the word, some meditation. It's going to take some focused effort. It may feel like it's going to exhaust you. That iron bar, I'm about to lift it 50 times. You'd be doing this. And dropping it. Of course, I don't know if it could be 50, maybe 10. It's heavy. If you'll work the word, to determination to punch through into an area of promise, of the supernatural, the blessing of God. Once you punch through, you must keep it protected. When I first learned divine help, I worked hours a day at times, reading these lists and verses, meditating, spent time. But you know, I don't have to do that anymore. It's already built. Now I just feel it. I believe I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. I'll meditate it some. I'll speak it. I'll decree it. And you keep it operational. And you can live in it. But you got to be willing to do the upfront work. Did I mention I scored a zero on my heart? Calcium positive. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of this? Thank you, Lord God. I like going to Dr. 71 on no medication. The doctor says, your tests are good. He said, no, they're very good. I mean, everything was, except for a few items, was just perfect. Thank you, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless us and draw on us to want to work your word at all times, to live out of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, you show us precise instructions of what to pursue at any point in time. And nothing catches us blindsided. We thank you for a new facility. We decree in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife. We win in every situation. We thank you in Jesus' name.